Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness gracious alive. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Did anybody have a good week this week? Oh, man, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, maybe the rest of you will have a better one next week. Maybe some of you had a little more trial and test than others. If you didn't have any trials and tests this week, there's something wrong. I'm going to have to go talk to the Lord about you. I'm glad He has no favorites, and He doesn't show any favoritism. That way we all get trials and tests. It's not just me. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, we had a great week this week. Of course, we went to Des Moines, Iowa. And, you know, we got some emails from people to let us know that some of the greatest preachers in history would not go to Des Moines, Iowa because of the demonic activity in Des Moines. I told them, hey, I'm not afraid of the devil. I mean, the king goes with me, don't you, Ernest? I mean, when the king's by my side, why am I supposed to be afraid of the enemy? You know, I'm not afraid of the beast. Praise the king. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I will have to tell you one of the wonderful things that happened. There was a little lady that come up to us that she had, I think, I may tell this wrong. Cheryl remembers these things so much more in detail than I do. I just kind of remember the ovaries, you know, but, you know, she has a mind to cry. I do too, but I don't try to remember the details. Yeah, she has the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. But some of the details she remembers, I don't even want to remember them, you know. So I just remember enough to tell a story, you know. So, but she's much, much more detailed, I will have to say, than I am, you know. How many women do you know? She says, you remember that woman that come up and you prayed for her that had the long black hair? I says, no. She had on a red dress. Had a pretty little gold pin right here. No, I don't remember all that. She wore glasses. No, I don't remember. Give me a break. You know, oh my, that's just like probably if you were to ask Cheryl what she and I wore when we got married, she could give you a word by word detailed description. Say, what'd you wear? I wore clothes. I think I did. Praise the Lord. See, that's the difference between men and women. But anyway, we had a little lady come up, and she was all crying, and she had cancer, and she had went and had surgery, and of course, she was a Christian, but she didn't understand what was rightfully hers as a daughter of the King, and she certainly didn't understand sin. So she went in, had surgery, and they did surgery, and she was okay for a little while, and then it came back a lot stronger, and she went and did surgery again. And this time, I think she said 40 of these things came back upon her the third time. Now then, when she came to us, we told her, as we began to talk to her, we found out that something had happened, and she was married, and that her husband had gotten into a brawl, you might say, with God. He got mad at God for something. God didn't answer a prayer or something. Oh, his 16-year-old brother got killed, and he didn't understand all that, and so he got mad at God. That's the worst thing you can do is get mad at God. I mean, he's God. Now, he knows what he's doing. He tells us to trust him. And when these things happen, you don't get mad at him and fuss at him because he just happens to be the boss. Amen. You know that? He happens to be the boss. And so anyway, since he had voiced his opinion so much and had been so mad at God, he had opened the door to the enemy, and the enemy had hit her with cancer, cancer, cancer. And every time he'd come back worse and worse and worse. Now she's got 40 of these things on her. She had a few the first time, 11, and then 19, and then 40. So, I mean, you would think that sooner or later, somebody would get the idea that the devil's got, we got a door open to the devil somewhere. But most people are not smart enough to understand that because they've never really got in the Word. And so, anyway, she came up to us crying, and we found out her problem. And she said, my husband, he just will not repent. In fact, I believe they were separated, weren't they? No, at that time?
No, this was the lady that I met at the back.
Okay, yeah, Cheryl talked to her at the back. Anyway, she found out all the details. Anyway, when she come up and I prayed for her, I told her, I said, now then, we're going to go to the throne of grace for your husband. You know, I said, the devil, no doubt, is blinding the mind of your husband. And I said, we have all power over the devil, so we're going to kick the beast out. We're going to ask the Lord to convict him of the sin he's living in so he will fall on his face before God and repent. I said, we prayed the prayer of faith. I said, now you call him and tell him what we prayed and that he will repent. And the next night she came back, and when she first called her husband, he didn't want to hear nothing. You know, he's a normal man. He's closed. He didn't want to hear nothing. She said he got really upset at her when she first started talking with him. But in a little while as she talked with him, he came under conviction by the Holy Spirit, and before it was open, the guy fell on his face before God and repented and asked God to forgive him. And then we prayed for her, and of course, she believes and we believe with all her heart. She's healed now. No doubt in our heart, you know. So, and we had another really significant little thing. Another little lady came up, and she was all upset because she had, I forget, three children, I think. The one had the three children. And the middle one, she brought a picture of the little child. She said, now, my husband is a Muslim. He don't believe in the God we believe in. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, unfortunately, and most people don't know, you know, what do you think God said in his word for? He says, my children are never to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And I don't know what it is about us that we don't understand about this. You know, that if God, I'm going to tell you when he says unequally yoked, I'm going to tell you I don't believe a Baptist ought to marry a Pentecostal because that's unequally yoked. You know, they both live in different planes. They both know the same Jesus, but they don't go together. I mean, I have seen it happen before. I know a Baptist man that he went and went to a special, his wife, he had a lovely wife and one daughter, and everything was going good in their home. He was a very successful businessman. He made plenty of money, and they had a traditional, normal life. Well, somebody invited him to go to one of these wild, crazy Pentecostal meetings. And he went over there, and he heard things like he'd never heard. And before he left her that day, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and come home speaking in tongues. Oh, my land. He'd come in, honey, listen to this. Watch this. Look what God did tonight. And within a matter of days, she said, you either stop that nonsense or I'm out of here. And he said, honey, I can't stop. This is a gift God gave me. And she left. She was a Baptist, traditional Baptist. She left him. Well, of course, he's a very strong preacher today. He's in his 80s today, but he's a man of God, seen awesome signs and miracles and wonders. You know, but it cost him his marriage. And they were both Christians. Isn't that a shame? Isn't it a shame that you can be a Christian, say you are, and you don't believe the book? The book says these are gifts of God. You know, and when one of them comes upon you, I don't know about you, but I love those gifts. And I want all of them. Lord, my prayer is baptize me with all them gifts. I don't want just one of them, Lord. I want them all. I don't care if it don't please the world or whatever it does. I don't care. I want all of them.
Rather go to hell than be a Baptist.
Whoa, wow. Okay, now let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right there. See, we don't realize the power of the tongue. We do not realize the power of the tongue. Let me give you another testimony about a woman that came up for prayer, and she had serious sickness and disease on her body for years. And as we began to question her, we found this in her. I asked her about the tongue. Have you ever made it? I don't know why you ask these things, except being led by the Spirit. Have you ever made any statements that you're sorry about vows or whatever against God or to God? She said, well, I will have to say that my family was lost, and I told the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to take sickness and disease on my body if you'll save my family. Now, how many of you know that Jesus needs help to save somebody? Ernest, you don't think he needs no help? The atoning price that he paid on the cross is sufficient for all of us, right? He don't need you to be sick to win somebody to Christ, does he? No, he does not. I told her, I said, when you made that vow, you tried to share in his glory, and that you opened the door to the devil, and you've been sick ever since, woman. I said, now what you need to do is right now is repent and tell God, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I realize that you're the one's going to save them. All I got to do is pray for them, rebuke the devil, and you'll do the saving. I can't save nobody. And just because I'm sick, that ain't going to bring no glory to you. So, Lord, I repent. Now, just like this statement that this brother just said here about this woman, if this woman don't repent of that statement, she may spend eternity in hell because of that vow. I can't believe anybody that's a Christian would make a vow like that. I'd rather go to hell than be a Baptist. I can't believe anybody would make that kind of a statement. You know what I've decided from the Word of God? I mean, after even what Dave put those scriptures on the board today, talking about the tongue, I've come to realize that. In fact, Jordan, would you put Proverbs 10, 18, and 19 on the screen for me? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18 and 19. This wasn't where I was going to start today, but I want to talk just a little bit about these things. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. What does that mean? He that hideth hatred with lying lips. Think about it. What is that saying? Oh, have you forgiven me, Thurman? And internally, I'm saying, I hate your guts. But I look up to you and say, yes, Keith, I've forgiven you. I don't care what you've done to me. I love you. And internally, those are lying lips. And in my heart, I'm really saying, I hate you for what you did to me. You know anybody that does those kind of things? Somebody says, I'm sorry, I repent, do you love me? Yes, I love you, I forgive you. Any fool can tell you didn't forgive them. You sure can't plead. You're lying? Do you know people done that? Sure. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. Okay, you know what I've decided after looking at it? In the multitude of words there wanteth no sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know what I've decided that most of us ought to do? We ought to spend a whole lot more time studying to learn how to be quiet than flapping our lips. When somebody tells you a little morsel about something that's going to happen or that did happen at the church, oh, the pastor did this. Did you hear? Hey.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.